Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis, California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 134. I am Shannon and I got Pete today.
Hey Shannon, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. It's kind of been light on news. We didn't have a show last week because there really wasn't any news. Still kind of light, but we are recording this on February 1st. So we'll be talking about what got launched today. But before we do that, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is DVC Rental Store. So if you are thinking about purchasing DVC, but you want to give it a test run, you can definitely look at DVC Rental Store and you can rent points from an owner. They might even have an existing reservation that fits in with the dates that you're looking for. Or maybe you're an owner who just can't use their points this year. Then hit up our friends at DVC Rental Store and they can help you out rent your points. So with that, I guess I'll go ahead and get started with the story number one.
Nick's listening along. We're broadcasting live on the MyDVC Points Network. Nick says, yes. Hey, cuties.
Hello.
If you're listening to this live, please feel free to comment on our stories. We'll pop you up here and discuss.
So our new story number one is that Disney commits $1.9 billion for Disneyland Forward. So on January 23rd, Anaheim announced that Disney has committed to spending $1.9 billion to $2.5 billion on the Disneyland Forward project should Anaheim approve the project. Money would be spent on park lands, attractions, hotels, shopping, and dining west of Disneyland Drive and on the Toy Story parking lot. So the Disneyland Forward proposal calls for Disney to pay $40 million for portions of Magic Way, Clementine Street, Gene Autry Way, and Hotel Way to clear the way for the proposed theme park expansion. The plan also calls for Disney to build a 17,000 space east side parking structure with direct connections from the Santa Ana I-5 freeway that would be larger than the combined Mickey and Friends and Pixar Pals parking structure. The Disneyland Forward proposal is scheduled for Anaheim Planning Commission hearings in March with a vote by the Anaheim City Council in May. I really wish Vicky was on this because she could probably put this into context. This is, it's like reading Greek to me. That's why I pretty much read it because I really don't have much. And you're going out there in May. So,
I mean, I've looked at some of the plans. I mean, this is still not, it's bigger than anything we've had before because Disney basically says if the city accepts our proposal, this is the money we're going to invest. I think that you can look at the proposal and what specifically would come. I think, you know, because they talk about like Wakanda and they talk about, you know, different Moana or whatever. They talk about what they've put there, but I don't think that means very much at this stage. But what it kind of means is a lot of investment in kind of an expansion of the park, not really a third gate, but it would be more of an expansion of the existing two gates. And it would be around the Disneyland Hotel. So I think how it affects DVC owners is if you're thinking about buying at the Disneyland Hotel, you could end up in 10 years. I mean, this is still a ways off, but you could end up so that you're actually like basically in the middle of the park, as opposed to right now where Disneyland is, you know, maybe what, a 10-15 minute walk to Disneyland Park and a little closer for DCA, but they would really build on either side of the Disneyland Hotel and you'd basically be right in the middle. It's not approved yet, so this is still in the works news, but it's a big deal if it does pass because it does mean that Disney is committing to that. And I don't know too much about the parking structure. I know it'd be like behind the hotels on Harbor Boulevard. Have you ever stayed on Harbor Boulevard there?
We stayed at the Hilton. I have no idea where that is.
Harbor Boulevard's the main road that is where all the closest hotels are.
Yeah, that's not where we stayed. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a strip of hotels there. And this parking lot would actually be on the other side of the hotels. And they would build bridges past the hotels that would allow people to walk from the parking lot, or I would assume they would have a little, like a, you know, walkway or something.
Yeah,
like
the
that.
Walkway, like they do at City Walk. Yeah.
And then Nick just put up, if they add, I'm not sure if that's the east. That might actually be the east side now that I think about it. If they had parking entrances on the west end, that would be amazing. Yeah. So I think the idea there would be they would kind of expand the park so it would wrap around Disney Springs. So it would be easier to access the park from the Disneyland Hotel.
Got it.
It's a pretty cool. And of course, I mean, $1.7 billion, they built DCA for about $1 billion, and then they put another $1 billion into it to bring it up to where it is now. It's different dollars. Obviously, it's a few decades later, but $1.7 billion it's maybe not a full theme park, but it's definitely a couple of lands, right?
Right.
I think Star Wars land was around $1 billion. So you're looking at like twice the size of Star Wars land, okay, kind of project wise. So I think could be talking a good 6 to 8 attractions type thing. Definitely a pretty good size expansion.
So what are the odds of this passing with Anaheim?
That's where we would need Vicky on the show, because I know that Disney's relationship with Anaheim has improved over the last few years. There was a point where it was going really badly.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember, Shannon, at one point they were supposed to build a hotel, right?
Yeah, totally. And it still got stopped. Yeah. They closed everything down.
Yeah, it was going to be a DVC hotel, and then Anaheim like put the kibosh on it, and they actually closed places in downtown Disney there. That all got canceled. Subsequently, now they've been permitted to put the timeshare in, which was obviously the first new timeshare since the Grand Californian. So I think their relationship is better than it was, but I have no clue how likely it is. I mean, you'd think Anaheim would want the revenue coming in. I don't know why they wouldn't, but if anybody has any better knowledge of it, please comment in the comments and we'll put it up. But yeah, I'm just not sure.
Yep. Okay.
It definitely would be good for, as I said, for DVC owners out there, because totally, if you own at the Disneyland Hotel, you'd be like right in the heart of stuff. So that'd be great.
Yep. Okay. And then talking about DVC.
So today, which again, we're recording this on February 1st, is the newest DVC resort, the Cabins at Fort Wilderness Resort, has opened for sales to existing members. And with that, we have actual legitimate information on the pricing and the maintenance fees and incentives. So starting off with the pricing, it is initially priced at $225 per point. That's the same price as Riviera and Alani. So I don't think that's a surprise. The villas at Disneyland are like $239. They've been higher since they went on sale. So I don't think this is a surprise. Incentives are not particularly impressive. If you were to add on a 100-point contract, you get a $2 discount on that $225 at 150 points. It's $10. And we have the full listing in our show notes. But even, you know, going up to 500 points, it's only a $15 discount off of the $225. We've seen better discounts from Disney than this. I'm a little surprised. And especially usually they start out with kind of the deepest discounts. I was a little surprised that it was pretty mediocre incentives. It's hard to predict what it's going to be in the future, but I wouldn't call these great incentives. So yeah. I don't think this is something that you look at and go, oh, you better jump on it, you know?
Right.
But it will have in our show notes, or you can go to the DVC webpage. You can see what those incentives are. The biggest news, and this is the thing we probably need to talk about the most, is the maintenance fees for 2024 have been released. And the initial rate is $12.16. And this is the second highest priced maintenance fees, only behind Vero Beach. This is higher than like Hilton Head, which is third. And this is like $3 to $5 higher than most of the Disney World properties.
Yeah. No, right?
The lowest one is Grand Floridian, which is like $7.50, right? So this is more than $4.50 more than the Grand Floridian, which is crazy to think of. Yeah. What do you think about it?
You know, as soon as the rumor started, I figured like the rumor was true. I thought that's probably why they're doing this, because if they're charging this for maintenance fees, they're probably just trying to get other people to pay the maintenance for Fort Wilderness. I mean, it's high, but I kind of understand it, because these are essentially little mini houses, right? I mean, that's what they are. And there's a lot more upkeep that's going to be involved. I know somebody was saying, oh, that's because they allow pets I don't think it's because they allow pets. I think because they charge you a fee to bring a pet. So that's what is going to kind of take care of if there's an right. issue with a pet leaving a little present behind. You're essentially in the woods, right? So there's a lot of maintenance involved. And
well, it's like you're going to have to cool these, and they're each going to have, when you have a tower like Riviera, you have, yes, it's a huge, massive refrigeration system, but it's basically one system cooling the whole building.
Yeah.
This, they're going to have 350 different air conditioning systems.
Right.
Right. And 350 heating systems and all these kind of things. When we talked about it, the points per night are surprisingly low.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that also, because they priced it more like a studio, it kind of forced them to have these high maintenance fees.
Which I have to say, I think if they had priced it more like a one bedroom or a two bedroom, because it's kind of like a studio plus, right?
Right.
That's kind of how it's priced, which I thought was great. We were never really seriously considering these because it's just, we're not in the market. I actually do not have add-on itis at any, like right now, which is great. If they had priced it higher points and then you had these maintenance fees, they'd be impossible to sell. But I think there's a trade-off there where it's like, yeah, it has high maintenance, but the point, you don't need as many points to stay here. So yeah. I think it is a trade. So to me, if I were looking at these, would not be a deterrent. It would not be a deterrent because I wouldn't need as many points and you're going to get a lot more for it. That's my take. Yeah. I think it's expected.
Yeah, I expected it to be high. I don't think I expected it to be this high. I mean, I was thinking it would probably be in the $10 to $11 range. It's really almost $3 higher than any other Walt Disney World property.
Yeah.
And my thinking behind it is like, yeah, okay, you want the cabins. You want to stay at the cabins. I think you do it anyways. I don't think this necessarily turns you off. But if you're buying points and you're thinking, well, I'll buy the points at the cabins, but I'll you know, move around and stuff. This completely kills that because everybody's got to remember, at 7 months, every point is the same for direct points that have the right to stay anywhere. At 7 months, every point becomes the same. If I buy it Saratoga, if I buy it Riviera, if I buy it the cabins. So if you're paying these maintenance fees, and you're instead staying at Bay Lake Tower, or you're staying at the Poly, or you're staying at, you know, Old Key West or something like that, you're paying more than than just about anybody else that's staying there.
Yep.
So if you're someone, again, if you're someone that really wants the cabins and plans to stay at the cabins every year, and especially if you're like, oh, I want to be there for Thanksgiving, I want to be there for Halloween, mm-hmm. you know, yes, buy this. If you're like, I'd like to try it some years, no, go buy somewhere else, buy Riviera, buy Grand Floridian, you know.
These maintenance fees are for people, you're buying it because you want to stay there, which is also something to think about, not early on, because, you know, I remember being able to book the Grand Floridian when it opened up to everybody. I was able to easily book a 3-night stay, but now it's impossible to book those new resort studios. It's impossible, but I was easily able to as soon as it opened up. I think this is something to think about if you are an owner like me who would like to stay there every once in a while, but have no interest in buying. It's probably going to be a lot harder to stay there than you probably think because these maintenance fees are the price they are. The people that are buying there are buying to stay there. And at least that's what I would think. And that means it's going to be a lot harder to book at 7 months.
Well, I think, you know, I've been watching this long enough. I think also you have that tendency everywhere that when you open a new resort, the people that buy there are buying there because they like it and they want to stay there. And it really isn't until 2, 3, 4 years down the road that then they think about, oh, maybe I want to try over there. I bought at Riviera. Maybe I want to stay at the Poly. Maybe I'll trade in, you know. I do think as a new resort opens, and especially with this one, I think this is going to be slow to sell. And in doing so, they're going to be slow to declare. So I think you're going to find it very difficult at 7 months to get in the early days of this. Because I could see, you know, initially, I think they're only, you know, normally they only declare 20% of a resort.
Right.
Right. So there's 350 cabins. So let's say they declare you know, 60 cabins or something initially. The owners are going to have first dibs at those, but then there's still not that many there. So even the ones that the owners don't take on any particular week, there won't be many of them. So right. I think it's going to be very difficult to get in here at 7 months. I think, again, 3-4 years down the road, when a lot of the resort is declared and the owners have been there for a while and they're thinking, maybe I'll, you know, that Riviera building, that looks pretty nice. Maybe I'm going to try that out for a change. I think it'll become easier to get into over time. Mm-hmm. So I still, as I said, to me, this would, unless you are a big time Fort Wilderness fan, this is not the entrance to DVC for you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. So, but I mean, I don't think there's any surprise, but I still am excited. Now, when do we know it's going to be available for booking? Do we know that yet?
Yeah, we did. We listed that on the last show. And I, of course,
well, that's, I mean, obviously,
quickly, but do we have any?
I'm the bad host that doesn't remember that show.
Oh, wait. So let's see. Nick said, must expect high rates of cash bookings for cabins, so aren't in a rush to sell with huge discounts. Yeah, and I think that's part of it too, is they totally expect that they don't need to rush into selling these.
Yeah, because this sells out a lot.
Because they know it sells anyways, right?
Yeah.
And then Nick also said, I'm betting there will be a lot of fixed weeks purchased here by Fort Wilderness fanatics. And
I agree.
And I have, yeah. We've already discussed that and totally agree. I think, in fact, if I was going to buy here, that would be what I would do, is I would completely, you know, if I knew there was a certain time of year I wanted to go, I would buy a fixed week. You have the week you want. You can always trade out of it. So members who add on early will get to start booking on February 15th.
Okay.
New members can purchase on the 27th, and those new members can start booking on March 12th. And then it's going to open up for all members. So, you know, you or me on April 23rd.
Okay.
So.
And then when does it open? Did it give a date?
July 1st.
July 1st. Okay. Stuff to think about for those, anybody that's interested. It's not that I'm not interested. It's just not where I would buy, because we wouldn't want to stay there every single time. I like having my son in a separate bedroom.
Yeah. Well, you could still put them on the couch, I suppose. Nick's asking, do you think full refurbs will be completely new cabins? I'm not sure what that means.
In 7 years, is that, I'm assuming he's talking refurbs every 14 years. I think so. Though that's what they do right now, is those cabins, they switch out. It's every 14 years, isn't it? The full refurbs are every 14 years.
The full refurbs are 14 years. So yeah,
I could see that. Because that's pretty much how long the cabins are done right now. Because they did switch them out completely. Because what they do is they resell them. Those cabins, when they get rid of them, they don't destroy them. They actually resell them. So people can buy them. It's not done through Disney. I think it's done through a third party. But once in a while, you'll see one pop up for like $30,000 that you can purchase. I would think so. I don't know for sure, but I will find out in 14 years.
Hey, we have a Facebook user asking a question about fixed weeks. Never heard of fixed weeks. Can you explain? So this was something they started. The first resort they did was Grand Floridian. So basically any resort after Grand Floridian, you can buy a fixed week. And the way that works is that you called, it kind of works like a regular, your normal timeshare is, right? You tell Disney that you want to purchase week 32 on the calendar, or whatever week it is. You basically pay whatever the points for that week would be on the current schedule, and then plus a premium of I think 15% or 20%.
I think it's 10. I thought it was 10%.
10%. Is it 10%?
I think so.
Okay, you pay a slight premium over. I should go to my own help site and and find out. I always joke with my wife. I said, I know a guy that has that information. DVC help.
Yep.
I actually do have a page on there about fixed weeks. So I'm going to just pull that up anyways. Yeah. So it's available at Alani, Grand Californian, Poly, Copper Creek, and Riviera, and now the cabins. So again, you select a particular week. There's actually a calendar that we have a link to on the page. It is an extra 10%. You are correct. So let's say it's 150 points. You actually have to buy 165 points. But if there's a year where you don't want to use it, you can convert that week back into points and you get the full 165 points and you can use that to book wherever you want. So you don't need to use it as a fixed week. So it's 10% premium. You get that fixed week. You can convert out of it as a fixed week if you need to. It's mostly used if you look at when people buy it. It's typically around a holiday, like a Christmas holiday, maybe Thanksgiving, but even Thanksgiving can shift so that it's not in the same week of the calendar year. Christmas doesn't do that. Obviously, Easter does. Maybe someone would want it for Halloween. Some people do it for, like, they always do run Disney, so they buy a fixed week at a resort. Nick's pointing out that the week starts on a Sunday and you have to use it as a full week. If you do buy it as a fixed week, you have to go for 7 days starting on a Sunday. There is some restrictions there, but again, you know, you talked about there's people that love the cabins
and for Thanksgiving and
go holidays. There every year with their family at the same time. So, like, something like that is the way to go. So I think it is limited to only like 30% or something like that of the total points can be sold as fixed weeks. But they've never come close. You can actually look it up what percentage of points are fixed weeks, but it's generally of the entire calendar year, it's like less than 5%, but it's heavily weighed towards October, November, December. That's when most people, if they're going to schedule fixed weeks, that's when they usually do it, is in the later part of the year. So,
yep. So that's our fixed weeks 101 for today.
Yep. And then our last story.
This is how you can tell it was light on news, because we're going to talk Universal.
Yeah. Well, it's Universal news, which we almost never talk about, but Universal did drop a video introducing Epic Universe to the world. And, you know, for those of us theme park nerds that have been paying attention, we knew a lot of this information already, but this week we saw an official announcement from Universal about their new theme park. Universal's Epic Universe is the official name, which is a little awkward to me, but we'll just call it Epic Universe. There wasn't a ton of surprises with the announcement, except that they have a central area, and that area is called Celestial Park, and it's going to have two restaurants and three rides, including a dueling roller coaster. There's also a hotel that's going to be directly in the theme park. And then from there, there's going to be portals to enter the different lands. So they're going to kind of making it, you know, almost video gamey. And then the four lands beyond that central area is going to be Nintendo World, which I'm sure is going to be hugely popular. Another Harry Potter land themed to both the Ministry of Magic and also the first Fantastical Beasts movie in France. Then there's a How to Train Your Dragon land. And I think DreamWorks is really, I know they're going to film a live action How to Train Your Dragon soon, so I don't think that's gone away completely. And then the final land is based on what they call the Dark Universe, which is Universal classic monsters. So, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, the Wolfman. I don't know. Are we going to get the Creature from the Black Lagoon? I don't know. That's one of them too, technically. The Mummy.
Okay.
They didn't provide any real details on any of the rides or attractions in those four lands. I think the Nintendo World, you pretty much know what you're going to get based on what they've done in other areas. I think they did mention that it'll be kind of a combination, that they're going to have the Donkey Kong roller coaster that they're building in Japan, and then the Super Mario stuff from California. So I think that one, we kind of know what it's going to be. And then the other ones, they're kind of still keeping on the down low exactly any details. They're saying opening 2025. So that's next year. It's worth noting, we don't know when next year, but it's still worth noting as competition to your time at Disney. You know, I mean, if you're a fan of the Universal parks, you know, it's always hard to predict exactly when Universal does things, how it's going to affect Disney. But in my mind, this is finally the thing that brings Universal to an actual full week stay.
I think this is going to affect Disney more than they think it's going to affect them.
I'm still of the opinion, I mean, this is me personally, like, we'll do Universal and we'll do like 3 or 4 days. And by like the fourth day, we're like, yeah, I've had enough of this. Yeah. And I never feel that at Disney. I can go to Disney for 10, 11 days and be satisfied, but don't usually get to a point where I'm like, okay, I don't want any more of this. Whereas Universal, right. I do, just because to me, it's a lot of thrill.
Yep.
and not a lot of variety in terms of that. Whereas Disney, there's some thrill, but you're not constantly being thrown around. Epic Universe seems like it's going to be more throwing you around, probably.
Yeah.
This new park, now suddenly you can easily do 4, 5, 6 days at Universal. I don't know. What do you think, Shannon? I've been talking a lot on it, but what's your opinion? I mean, riders getting to that age where Universal is more appealing, right?
Right. I mean, we went to Universal in September for Labor Day and we had a great time. There's two rides he can't ride right now. So the Rock and Roller Coaster, Rock and Rocket, whatever that one. And then the Velocicoaster. But he's close. He was close. He's probably about half an inch right now. Oh, and then the Hulk. The Hulk is like 54 inches. So he's a little bit off of that one. But everything else he could ride. And he rode everything. And I think by the time this opens, he'll be 9. He'll be probably able to ride most things. And he's a daredevil. Mm-hmm. He is definitely my husband's son. And I think like he enjoys Disney. He loves Disney. And I think he'll always have that part of him. But at some point, he's going to want to do the thrill stuff. And I see us, definitely doing that more. I was hoping there was going to be a Game of Thrones land, but that was just me. I don't, it's not even owned by Universal, but I was still holding out hope. I mean, I would buy into like a timeshare if there was a Game of Thrones land. Let's just be honest. I think Disney is just surrounded by their own little bubble. We talk about the Disney bubble, but I think the executives are in their own little bubble. And I don't think they really see that this is going to affect it as much as I think it will. I just, that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I really wonder too, because I think they look back to Harry Potter and go, well, yeah, Harry Potter opened and they had a bump from it, but it actually helped us too because it brought more people to Orlando, blah, blah, blah. But like, as I said, to me, that now you can do it for a week thing.
Yeah, because you only have so much vacation time.
Right, because exactly, so it's one thing now. I'm sure there's people that do it, but I feel like there's not a lot of people that go, oh, I'm going to go to Universal for 7 nights.
Right.
I feel like, most people are like, yeah, it's 3 or 4 days, whatever. So maybe we split it with Disney or maybe we do a shorter trip when we go to Universal. But really to compete with Disney, getting to 3 parks and is really going to do it. And the water park. I know when they opened the water park, they were like, we're having a third theme park. No, you don't. It's a water park.
Yeah, it's a water park. but I mean, and what I see is I see friends that come down or go up to do Universal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them aren't, they're maybe adding a day and they're going to another park, but they're not going to Disney. They're going to SeaWorld. They're doing other things. And SeaWorld is closer to Universal. It's actually, quite a bit closer. People are going to make this like a destination vacation. And I don't think Disney's going to get the bump or anything that they wanted. Right. I mean, in September, when I was there for Labor Day, we had just been to Disney World and then we went to the Halloween party. But then when we went to Universal, we were like, oh, this is why Disney's so empty, because everybody was at Universal. I mean, it was so packed. And it was interesting because I was seeing on social media how empty Disney was. It was Labor Day weekend. Yeah. And Universal was crazy packed. And we had stayed at one of the deluxe hotels there so we could get the express pass. And I mean, there were times we were waiting 45 minutes with the express pass. That's how packed it was.
And let's not neglect, Disney has made it so complicated to book a trip to Disney with park reservations. I mean, I realize those are somewhat going away, but park reservations and your Genie Plus and your Lightning Lane and everything like that. And Universal is simple. I worry that a lot of people get turned off to Disney because they've made it so complicated. I hope that we're going to see some changes to Genie Plus, but it's one of the things I hate about, I mean, even being someone that knows what I'm doing, I have to spend so much time on my phone in the parks to try and get, like, if I use Genie Plus, it's either I don't use Genie Plus and I have to wait in giant lines, or I use Genie Plus and I'm spending the whole day. It's like, oh, this, I got this time, but this is a bad time. We're planning to do this. Okay, let me try to change it. I'm gonna try to change it. And I keep going on my phone all day, and I hate it.
Yep. I know there's been rumors that there's going to be changes to Genie Plus, and we'll see about that. I mean, I think there's rumors that it's going to go very similar to the old FastPass Plus system, where you make reservations before. We'll see if that ever comes to fruition. I think it needs to. Yeah, I agree. I've learned to, just like I learned to use FastPass Plus, I've learned to use Genie Plus to our advantage and make it a good vacation. But as I've said this before, I have one kid. I can afford it with one kid. You know, right. If you have 2, 3, 4 kids, it's you got to be wealthy. I mean, you might as well just get a VIP tour, because it's almost, because it's getting up to like, what, $35 a day? It's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, we budget for it, but we also, because of that, we don't do sit down dinners anymore. Fortunately, it kind of timed with the way our son is. Our son doesn't want to do sit down dinners or lunches anymore, the character meals. Like, it's just not part of where we are in this point in life. We're spending about the same amount of money. We're just spending it on different things, and we're having, you know, enjoyable vacation, but not everybody has that luxury. I mean, I've had a text this week from somebody, hey, my cousin's going to Disney World. Can you give them some tips on Genie Plus, right?
Right.
So I just send them to my video, but they're going one time. Like, this is somebody's cousin from Argentina. They're coming for a trip. By the time they learn how to use Genie Plus, their trip will be over. It's just, like you said, it's very complicated. And I don't know. I think 2025 is going to be a very interesting year with the opening of Epic Universe. And then also, there's nothing going on with Disney World.
Yeah, I think you could see some deep room discounts in 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick's got a couple of comments here. Instead of as well, it becomes instead of for some families, especially ones with teens. Yeah, for sure. He does mention that new hotel is going to be epic. Great views into the park and special entrance. Yeah, I mean, anytime you can have a hotel that enters into the theme park, that's hard to beat.
Yep.
Totally. And then he mentions, monsters, please, Disney, give us the villain's land. You've been blue skying. Yeah, that might force Disney's hand a little more on that. That's one of those things with the Universal Monsters. I'm like, do really people really care about like Frankenstein and the Mummy? I don't think that's the land that's going to drive people. But I think if Disney did it, you had Maleficent and Ursula and Jafar and all these villains, a villains themed area, that would do a better job of driving people than the Universal Monsters. That's really all we had to talk about, though we milked those three news articles for a lot of conversation. I'm going to plug Shannon's YouTube channel here, Shannon Ford on YouTube, because we've been debating about maybe doing a Royal Caribbean cruise, my wife and I. And I actually have gone to Shannon's channel to check out. She has a lot of information about both Disney cruises and Royal Caribbean cruises and how to book, what are the best rooms are, things like that. So,
Just like I did for the DVC rooms and all the Disney rooms, best and worst rooms, I started doing it. I first started with Disney cruises, and then I did all, I'm still working through Royal Caribbean. There's a lot more ships with Royal Caribbean, but same thing, best and worst cruise cabins on Royal Caribbean. So I have the same type of videos.
Yep. So I'm just saying, if you're interested in cruising and you're kind of new to it, or if you're interested in trying, either Disney Cruise or Royal Caribbean, she's got some great videos there. So check that out.
Thank you. Thank you. And actually, we are going. So this past Saturday was an inaugural for the Icon of the Seas. Mm-hmm. So my family and I obviously are not on it, but we will be going for spring break. So that is our next trip. We don't actually have a Disney trip planned until July.
That ship genuinely scares me.
It's big. She's a big girl.
I look at it and like, there's a lot of people on that ship.
Yeah, but I've heard, I've known a couple people that are on, and they say, no, they're not sailing at capacity yet. They started at 80% and they're going to slowly move up to 100%. But it's very wide. So a lot of people have said that it doesn't feel packed, because it's like, when you look at it from, from the side, it doesn't look that much bigger. But if you look at it from the back, it's very, very, very wide. So they say it just, everything's feels, and they took a lot of things that Disney did with the Wish, where there's, instead of having a couple big pools, a lot of little pools, which breaks it up. It seems to be a really good design. I'm very excited to going on it. We booked right when it came out, and now we've been priced out. So I don't think we'll be going on it for a while. So we'll definitely, but I am excited about that. So if you're interested in that cruise, I know there's a couple of Disney vloggers that are on right now, but as I've said, I vlog our vacations. They're our vacation. So they're like a realistic expectation of what a vacation will feel like with an 8-year-old.
As I said, I like your videos because you're not a sugarcoater. You know,
I'm not a sugarcoater, and I don't try to be pessimistic either, but I also think it's just realistic. Yeah.
It's a real view. And yeah, you know, some of the bloggers, it's very much like, oh, look how wonderful everything is.
Yeah, because I want to be on Disney's PR list.
Right. And that's not, in my opinion, that's not what I want to see. And I think a lot of people feel that way, but you know, go check out Shannon's YouTube page.
And then obviously we got to say dvchelp.com, because you mentioned that earlier, that you have a bunch of information, that you have a lot of information as for DVC and DVC specific information. So especially if you're looking at any of the cabins or looking to purchase, there's a lot of information. And I think the best, if you're a new owner, the most helpful information is how hard is it to book certain resorts at 7 months? Because the guides will tell you, oh, you can book at any resort at 7 months. And yeah, you know, you should buy it at Alani, you could book Grand Californian. Well, that's impossible. So no, yes, technically, yes, that's true, but it will not be available. So there's a lot of good information on your website as well. So
yeah, we have availability charts. We have a lot of FAQs directed for new owners and things like that. So if you're to DVC, that's a good place to go, as well as actually the My DVC Points website page. Chad has a lot of Disney 101 type episodes that talk about how to take advantage of your membership as well. I don't really have any videos or anything like that, but if you want some videos, Chad definitely has some good stuff on that.
And then just as one final thing we'll say about the My DVC Points community on Facebook, it's a great community, very positive community. Some groups are not as positive. It's a very positive, it's definitely monitored, but if you're sharing information, I know there was a lot of help with Moonlight Magic registrations recently. It's a very helpful, and that's where I find out my news. Either that or Pete tells me. But that's when I hear about the news first thing through that My DVC Points community page. So even if you're not an owner, you don't have to be an owner. If you're just kind of considering it, join that group. And it's a great, great group for information, especially regarding DVC. I think that's it. You know, you're going out to Disneyland, you said in May, and no Disney World trips coming up.
No Disney World trips in 2024, and may not be till fall of 2025. So
yeah,
that would be the longest in a long time. We went a lot the last 2 years, so we're looking for maybe a break.
Well, maybe you'll be hitting up our friends at the DVC rental store to rent out your points.
I might be.
So with that, I want to say thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial, for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.